Hello, everybody, and welcome to eTech Muddy Boots, where we don't just talk about it, we stomp right through it. I'm your host, Melissa, and this is the show that gets down and dirty with everyday leaders who are making real change happen. We're not afraid to get our boots muddy because that's where the real stories are. So lace up, slip them on, step out, and join us as we trudge through the trenches of trust building and action taking, real action taking. If you are tired of all the talk and no walk, you're in the right spot. So let's get your boots ready. Let's lace up. Let's get muddy.
Give me a break. Give me a break. Break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar.
Hello. Welcome back to Melissa's Muddy Boots, where we don't just talk about it. We walk about it as well. And today, he didn't bring his cowboy hat, but he has a cowboy hat and boots. And I know they stay pretty muddy in all sorts of topics. If you'll remember this space, we talked about the Bruce Lee theory. So if you haven't seen that one, you better go back and grab it. Everything about Al Hopper will be in his bio. We'll add all that. But welcome, Al Hopper, to getting our boots muddy today. Welcome to the mud puddle, Al Hopper.
Hey, Melissa. Yeah, I'm excited to be back. Thank you for having me back. And yeah, I left the hat. You know, some folks don't really like to see it. So I have it. I can go get it. But I even brought my boots, the new clean ones even.
Just show off. Well, yeah, oh, those look at that. Sharp boots. That's a little suede on the... Is that a little suede on the top?
Just a little fancy.
You know, if you stomp in the mud with those, it kind of messes up the suede. You know that.
That's why those are my dress boots. I brought them special for you. The muddy ones in the other room.
Okay, well, I need you to grab those for our friends today because everybody's jumping in this mud puddle with us because this is a topic that pretty much, it doesn't matter the industry, the age, the walk of life you're in, the country that you're in. It really affects all of us, you and I included. So I'm excited about this topic today. So everybody, get your boots on. You know what? I don't even care if you have boots on today. Sometimes a barefoot inside the mud does some life some good. You know, it does some life some good. So today's topic, if you're taking notes, and great leaders take notes. So we're talking to leaders out there, and this is about basically how to manage stress as a leader. So Al's going to help walk us through that. Al, many years ago, I was told this, and I don't know who the quote was by. We'll have our team maybe give credit for that. It said, it's lonely at the top, so you better know why you're there. Yeah. Right? And yeah. I think about that even in parenting. Parenting, you know this, and I know this, right? Is that parenting sometimes can be overwhelming, but you better know why that you're there, you know, why, because it can get difficult, right? So I think the same thing when it comes to leadership, there's just, you know, people only post all the beautiful things sometimes, and being a leader can get extremely stressful, no matter what you're leading, right? And on a real factor, there's just a ton of, I mean, I even bought some vitamins at, I don't know if I can say the department store. I bought some vitamins that said stress management, stress relief. I'm like, those must help me. Those must help me. So we're all looking for that, you know, that way to get stress relief. So today and everything we do on this Muddy Boots podcast, we don't just talk about it, but we're walking about it. So Al and I, we're going to talk about this topic of stress relief, but we're going to help you walk through the mud of stress. So Let's get started, Al, if you will. So, you know, leadership can be romanticized. Like I said, you can post all the wonderful things, pictures of your team, but you don't show the behind the scenes issues. So what are some overlooked stressors that come with managing the responsibilities of being at the top when it comes to leadership?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, you could always start with the obvious, right? The wear and care of your team, right? And that's a big obvious stressor, right? Making sure that your team is cared for, making sure their paychecks are happening, making sure they're coming to work on time, making sure that they don't have any issues at home that are affecting their work performance. But I think a lot of people overlook the paperwork side of things and the attention to detail that it takes. Now, there's often a lot of reports that go into things, a lot of presentations, a lot of polish, and sometimes it's a lot of things that you might not be best at. And so you're having to, like you said, as being a parent, teach someone something that you might not be the best at, and still being able to lead and provide that guidance to them. So those, I think that's really kind of, to me, been the big stress, or being able to manage and maintain the balance between the moment, being in the moment, the heads down, as we learned, right? The heads down leadership versus the heads up leadership, and staying strategic and understanding what skills do I need to teach myself? What skills do I need to teach my team? And I think also a lot of leaders go with the approach that, they can't take time off, or they can't balance their own lives because they have so many other things going on. And I think that's a really big overlooked part of leadership, is taking care of yourself as much as anything else.
I love that you said that, taking time off, because I'm guilty of that years past. And my boss, you know what she calls, we call, most people say PTO, paid time off, right? Do you know what my boss calls PTO? Please, please take off.
Please take off. That's awesome. That's
So that
fantastic. I love
is,
that.
PTO is please take off, right? And so, this is really this topic. I'm not saying that I'm a professional at, but I am saying that it is something I have, it's a muscle that I have been working on for years. So I understand the stressors of leadership and our role. And there's many people that are listening to us today. They're like, they're in the burnout. They're ready to quit. They're ready. If you're a little bit of an introvert, like, Al and I have that tendency sometimes. I know we're on a podcast. You're like, you're extroverts. You can handle stress well. No, it affects us all different ways, right? Yeah, I want to just lock my doors and not see anybody for a month. But there are different things that you can do and ways that you can recognize. So that please take off is a muddy boots. That's something to stomp in.
I love it.
I've been even teaching my grandson. He is 18 months old. And then if I was real cheesy, I'd pop a picture of him up at this moment. But I'll save you guys from that. But I have an area down a really long country. What you would picture, Al. I live in the country and I have a really long driveway and I have sand on one side. And then I tell him, let's go play in the dirt. And we get our shoes off and we just walk out there and play in the dirt. And he immediately calms down. Graham calms down. And these are just things that I have done to kind of help me over the years when it comes to stress management, right? So, but I'm going to ask you, Al, like, when, there's all kinds of stressors. When do you realize that stress is becoming unhealthy? Like, what are some things that we need to look for when stress is becoming unhealthy?
Wow. So there's the big stress monster, the silent killer, the heart attacks, the ones you don't want to get into, right? It's the big one, Martha. Showing my age a little bit, right?
We all love Fred Sanford. I love Fred Sanford too. If you don't know that, you gotta go watch
Absolutely.
it.
Gotta look that one up for sure. Talk about stress management, right? That's another thing, is just kind of finding your outlet. But the ways that you can look at it is, talk about family. My girls think that I have resting upset face, like, or resting mad face, right? And it's like, Dad, you're always angry. You sound angry. You look angry. You're mad. You're scowling all the time. What's going on? And I'm like, I'm sorry, it's just my face. This is my happy face. And so it's understanding how others perceive you as well as part of that stress. And when you can feel yourself tensing a lot, right? You start feeling it in your shoulders, feeling it in your back. Those are some of the more physical signs, I think, that people may or may not recognize, right? Your posture changes a little bit. Your face gets all scrunched up. Your neck starts feeling tight. I know for me, it'll be where I'm going to town on, I'm working on something, and then someone calls, and all of a sudden I start sitting like this instead of, pulling my shoulders back. And I have to physically remind myself, pull your shoulders back and down and have that proper posture. So that way it does kind of put your body back into that equilibrium. Those are some of the ways that you can do that, or the language that you start using. If you're someone that uses kind of more flowery language, and then all of a sudden your sentences get short and clipped, you might key in on that. And I love having cameras on. A lot of folks really don't, but it's a great tool that I've started using, so you can see yourself. You can kind of check yourself in the mirror. It's like, and back when I started on the phones decades ago, we had mirrors put over our monitors. And the
I
reasoning wasn't just so you could see someone coming out behind you so you don't get scared, but it's also so you could see the smile on your face, right? Because you can hear the smile
Yeah.
in your voice. And kind of that same concept, you know, when you're doing remote work, it's being able to see who you're talking with, but also how they see you. So that way you can kind of manage that as well. These little things like that, I think, really help understand when the stress is starting to tick up.
Yeah, that's a really good. Okay, so we're in the mud. Some of us gotta have our boots on. Some of us have dress shoes on. I see people walk into this mud puddle because they want to hear this conversation. So if you're taking notes, which I know you are, because you should be, the first thing you would ask yourself is to write down like when am I feeling myself get stressed this week? So that would be a good action. We talk about not just talk about it, but we walk about it. Start keeping a log of your week and when you started feeling yourself getting stressed and what behaviors did you have? Like, did you turn blotchy? Did you start sweating? Did you start going from flowery like language to sure, whatever. Okay. You know, did you start using language like that? So, you know, in anything that you struggle with, recognizing, you know, what those stressors are, I think that's a first thing. So if we're writing a playbook here for all of us, write down, just log, start a log of what has stressed you and what physical behaviors did you have. And so I think that would be a great start. And I love the mirror, Al. When my kids were small, even now today, they're grown, have their own families. And but when we were in the car and they would be getting frustrated or at home and they would get frustrated, I made them look in the mirror for like a minute or 2 minutes when they were throwing a fit when they were little bitty, you know, and they were all mad and stuff. I would bring them to a mirror and I'd say, look at yourself. And they never, you know, they don't want to look at themselves. And I don't want to look at myself when I'm mad. Like, try that. That Al's really right. This is a muddy boots nugget. This is a golden nugget in the mud. Like, when you're angry, just go look at yourself. As my kids got older, I would flip down the visor and they could either be grounded for 2 weeks. This is their option, or they could look at themselves for 2 minutes. Straight look at themselves. Don't take their eyes off themselves. And obviously, most they would opt for the look at the teen, like preteens, teenagers,
Right.
boys I have. So they're staring at themselves in the mirror and they see how ugly that we look. And you know what? We do this in business too. We really look ugly when we are looking at an email we don't like or that boss hangs up and we don't like. So I think that's one way, the mirror. Maybe that's why old school call centers had those mirrors up in front of all of us,
Yeah,
to look.
absolutely. You hear the smile in your voice is the way they used to tell us, right?
Yeah, ours used to
And
say,
so,
smile when you call.
yeah, exactly. Smile when you dial. So it's that kind of same thing, right? As a phone agent, even, right? You manage the stress because it's really hard to be angry if you're
Yeah.
smiling. And so if you really kind of keep that on, right? It's the forced smile. Yeah, I'm good, right? But it really does make a difference.
I
So little tricks like that. And
Do you
I just want to go back real quick though.
go ahead?
The way that you said you took your grandson out to go play in the dirt, right?
Yeah.
That's another thing that I've actually started doing a lot recently, the concept of grounding, where I have the luxury of working from home, so I can go out in the front yard, pull the shoes off, get my toes in the grass, and just sit there and breathe.
I've done that
That's
recently.
such a great tool, and I'm just now discovering it. Maybe I would have been a much less of a stress monster if I could have done that before. But yeah, I just wanted to say that's a great one.
I'm a huge fan of grounding. I will lay in the grass. I will, you know, I guess I've been doing it since a kid. I always watch the clouds and try to make pictures out of them. And so I would lay in the
Yeah.
grass and look at different things. And I just think that just does something to us. We think when we get to be adults, we don't need to keep doing these things. But you know what? I still like snow cones. I still like ice cream. So why wouldn't I like to lay in the grass and look at the clouds? Like some of the things, they don't have to go away, Al. You know, we don't have to grow
Absolutely.
up and get rid of some of these things.
Absolutely.
So another thing I just learned about, this could be breaking news on Muddy Boots, that when you think about grounding. And all of you sitting in the mud puddle with us may know this, but I just got a message about grounding sheets, sheets that you put on your bed. Have you heard of this? Now, I'm not promoting.
Like weighted blankets?
No, they.
Okay. Yeah.
So you guys go Google this. This is some homework from Melissa on your muddy boots when you get out of the mud. Go pull up grounding sheets. I am not promoting this whatsoever. I think you should lay in the grass. But what I'm saying is, this is such a real thing that now people are really marketing some serious products for grounding. So it's grounding sheets. Go pull it. I'm not even gonna. That's all I'm gonna tell you. Intrigue in the mud. Intrigue in the mud. Go look it up. Okay, this is something that you get everything in the mud puddle here, Al. Everything in the mud puddle. So this is another topic, Al, that I want to ask you about. Decision fatigue. I stress this one gets me sometimes because all the decisions we have to make, it's real. It has ripple effects. How do you manage the mental load of the constant high stakes decisions that you have to make? Because there's amount of stress that comes with constantly having to make a decision. So what do we do here, Al?
Wow. So for me, I think it comes to kind of understanding how you've trained your team and how you've empowered your team and empowered others that you work with, which is a leadership skill unto itself, right? And making yourself available to trust other people to make a decision for you. And sometimes it's as simple as, can I let someone off the phones to go do an extra training or, go take care of something that needs to be taken care of? Can I trust another member of my team to just really hone in and you know all the things, you know all the parts? How would you do this? Right. And I think that's a skill that is sometimes overlooked as well, is how you empower others. And as a leader, that empowerment of your team is going to help reduce some of that decision-making fatigue that you're talking about. Right? Because you can know that your team is going to make the right decision for you and in your absence. Right? We talk about please take some time off. Right? And so one of the stressors of not taking PTO is because we don't always trust that the world isn't going to fall apart without us. And so as a leader, if you've done your job right and you've trained your team and you've empowered your team to make decisions for you, then that removes that stressor and that allows you to take the time off for self-care. It allows you to kind of make that balance a little bit easier. It's something that not a lot of leaders, especially young leaders, embrace, I think. The idea that you don't have to be the one to make every decision.
That's it.
If you empower your team and teach your team the way that you want them to think and you want them to lead like you do, then why can't they make the same decisions that you do? What's stopping them? I mean, it's like the idea of making yourself replaceable. So as a leader, we all want to grow, right? There's always a next level that we want to get to. But sometimes we get stuck in our little kingdom, our little world, where we are so focused on doing a good job where we're at, that we want to grow, we want to move up. Maybe we're working on our own skills to do that, but we forget to teach what we know to the folks below us that are the next generation of leaders. And so you can reduce a lot of your own stress and decision making by developing your team and teaching them how to be the same type of leader you are, because I'm assuming you think you're a good leader. Right? You like the way that you lead. You're comfortable in the way that you do that. So why not teach someone else to be the same way? And then know and trust that because you've done that, they can make the same decisions. And even if they make a mistake, okay, learn from it.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. That's how they're.
We've got some fantastic leaders at eTech that live and breathe on that. Jim, our Chief Customer Officer, always says, make a mistake, break something. Just don't break it the same way twice,
That's
you know,
it.
and that's learning and developing. And so he has the trust that his team is going to make the right decision. And if not, they'll learn from it. As leaders, we need to embrace that same idea, and that's going to help remove some of our own stress because we know that we've trained our team to make the right decisions. And so, That I think is a really good way to try to get around decision fatigue. The other one is, when someone comes with you to make a decision, turn it back on them. What do you think? Right? How do you feel that this is going to work? What would you do if you were me? And then you let them make, give you their background, give you their ideas, because maybe you don't even have an answer in the moment, right?
Right.
Maybe you need time to think about it. So instead of taking all that stress, going, "Oh my gosh, what am I thinking of now?" You let them make the decision, and then you go, "You know what? That's a great idea. Why don't you roll with that?" And so you haven't even had to make a decision, and but they're happy because they got the decision made. They might not even realize that they just made it for themselves.
Oh, these are some good. Look at you throwing mud at us. Look at you throwing mud at us in this puddle. So let me just say to everyone that's sitting around the puddle with us, this is why I asked Al to talk about this topic. It reminds Al, you remind me of that story. There was a village, and people were getting very sick in the village, and they found out it was the water hole that they were, the part of the river they were dipping the water out of and drinking the water. I'm not sure if I shared this story with you before. Surely somebody hasn't heard it, but they were getting very sick. But there was a person in the tribe. So everybody started testing the water and looking at the water right there. And then someone said, "We've got to look upstream. It's not
Absolutely.
this water hole. It's not this water hole. It's what's happening upstream." And this is why I asked Al to come on here today, because what he just did with us in the mud, this question of decision fatigue, which if you've been a leader for a minute, you've had decision fatigue. And he didn't take us to the hole that we were, the decisions that we were making. He took us upstream look at trust. If you weren't, if we were not so
Absolutely.
controlling and such starving to be the one to be right and make the answers, that's a major lack of humility. So if we would check our humility a little bit, then maybe we wouldn't be so burnt out on all these decisions, because you think, like Al said, is your kingdom. So I love the way Al brought us up to trust, like trusting people to do it right, and maybe they get credit for it, not you, and trusting people to make a mistake so they can learn from it. Because newsflash to everybody in this mud, we had to screw up a time or two so that we could get as good as we think we are today. All right. So
Absolutely.
let's just pay attention to that. So I love that you brought us up to trust. And then I love you put that, what are you asking? What do you think? What would you do? And that's not just a way to be passing the buck. That's a way to actually testing if this person knows the right thing to do. In my world, I get to deal with engineers and electricians outside of E-Tech, and them making a mistake for electrician, why it could cost them their life. So there's some decisions that we can't just say, you mess with that wire and see what happens. You can't do that, right? So you do have to say, what would you do in this situation to test? And then you say, that's right. And so they can start making decisions. So Al, I appreciate you taking just that topic of stress for us over decision fatigue, because it's real. It is seriously
Absolutely.
real. And I love how you took us upstream. All right, we're winding down on this stress topic, because we can't just sit in the mud and talk about stress the whole time. But hopefully we're getting some things in our log. So we've got already like monitoring, our behaviors and what's stressing us. And then when it comes to decision making, maybe log the decisions that you let someone else make. Try that. Try to write down a decision that you let someone else, let's just say it's where to go on vacation. Start small. Maybe it's where to eat dinner. Let somebody make a decision. Let them make a small decision, and then start watching yourself when you're documenting, like when you make had someone make a big decision. If it failed, teach them and give them a chance again. You got a second chance, third chance. I know for me, it's multitude of chances, right? Al, is that you too? Did you get a multitude
Oh
of chances?
gosh, yes,
Okay.
absolutely,
All right. So we
absolutely.
talked this self-care I am big about. So like I said, I'm not about to say that I'm a proclaimed self-expert, but you are talking to someone who has hammock swings, three of them. I have I have Aerie. I believe in self-care. I believe in quiet time. I believe in getting yourself where you can pour into someone else's cup. I do believe if I'm on an airplane, I understand that I need to put oxygen on myself before I put. I listened to them, Al. They said, Melissa, if something goes bad on this plane, put the oxygen on yourself first. Isn't that what they said, Al? And
Absolutely, every time.
why are they saying that? Why do they tell you to put the oxygen on yourself first?
We just said it, right? If you can't take care of yourself, you can't take care of anybody else, right? If you're in a plane and you're going down and you need oxygen, you're gonna have to figure out quickly, I can't breathe, I can't fix someone else. So, that's why you've got to put the oxygen on yourself first. Because especially if you're the one that is going to be the decision maker and be the one that's going to be the leader and the helper, you've got to be the one that can give yourself the tools that are needed. So you got to take care of yourself that way. Absolutely.
And I want to go back to this is a Muddy Boots action item. The reason why you're having to put oxygen is the things that Al says, because we cannot think right if we do not have oxygen. We're not making right choices. We may start to panic and we could die. We could hyperventilate and die. And I guarantee you, if you go back to your logbook this week and you start seeing the times when you got stressed, what happens to us when we get stressed is it almost is like the oxygen is cut off to our brain. Okay? We start making like decisions. We send that email when we shouldn't. I got a message this morning and said, I didn't hit send, but would you read over it? Well, someone that's good, they breathed a little bit. So go back to when you were small and they told you to stand in the corner and count to what? Who remembers? Did someone tell you to count to?
Count to 10, count to 5. It really depends. When talk about, okay, so funny story, you should say something like that. When I went to college the first time out of high school, okay, I had no business going to school at that point, but I did. Okay, I joined a fraternity, and my big brother, again, Al's got the resting upset face, right? And he looks like he's angry all the time. So my big brother in the fraternity made me learn the Kit Kat song. And the reason was because at the time, the commercials for Kit Kat was just give me a break. Break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar. And so every time I got upset, every time he just looked at me, and, ow, give me a Kit Kat. I'd have to sing the Kit Kat song.
Yes, I knew this story when you and I were in our mentoring sessions. I asked you, what did you do to calm down? And you're like, I haven't thought about this in a while. And you told me about the Kit Kat song. So do you
Give me
think,
a
Al,
break.
give, let's sing it. You ready?
Sure, let's do it. Are you ready? And go. Give me a
Give
break.
me a break.
Give me a
Give me
break. Break me off a piece of
a break.
that Kit Kat bar.
Everybody else knows it. You know they'll be singing it the rest of the day. What's that do?
Absolutely. Hey,
Look,
put a
he
big smile
started
on my face. Look at
smiling.
you, right?
That's a great way. That's you're breathing. You're taking a break. You're singing, so
Absolutely.
you're breathing, right?
The
That guy was
stress of
genius.
your questions and making decisions, now I'm going to answer you.
So it's important when we talk about self-care. There are things that we need to do. And I think breathing, if it means singing or what, you need to breathe. Just taking like 10 deep breaths, breathe in through your mouth and out through your nose. If you will get some oxygen to your brain, I'm no scientist, but I guarantee you if you go talk to a doctor, maybe we have doctors that are sitting in the mud with us today that need to breathe themselves. I believe the oxygen will help you to deal with the decision you have to make, the person who's stressing you, and sometimes that person who's stressing you is just your own self because you didn't breathe. Okay. In the topic of self-care, before it's like if you talk about self-care, then you're changing the definition of strong leadership. So what still holds people back from embracing this self-care as leaders? Like what are some of the things that are holding people back from pouring into themselves?
I think there's been a lot of research into it, generationally. I know I can speak for myself, grew up in a culture where self-care was not a thing. We didn't talk about our feelings. we just sucked it up, being in the military, you just, as we would say, we just drink water and move on, change your socks and move on, just do it. Soldiers shut up and soldier, is one of the best pieces of advice that I ever got, but at the same time is the worst piece of advice I ever got. Because you just kind of learn to embrace that idea that we just don't talk about it, right? So being able to now talk about our feelings and talk about ourselves and the impact that others are having, right? I feel a lot more comfortable today going to someone saying, hey, you know what? I need to talk to you about the way this interaction went down, whether it was something that I felt I did to you or I feel that you did to me or whatever the situation may be. There's just that ability to talk now and the ability to recognize that that is a problem that we have to address. And I think the cultures are coming around. We talk about please take time off, right? I love that. I keep going back to that now. It's something that here in the States, I know especially, we just don't do, right? Because we feel that, again, for whatever reason, the world is going to end if we're not around to make a decision. If I'm not in the office, that how can I trust that my team is doing the things that they need to do? If I'm not on a phone call with someone telling them what needs to happen, how are they going to know what needs to happen? Right. And so it's that burden, that self-imposed burden, to your point, that, we built this on ourselves. And so this idea that we can now say, okay, stress is a problem. Biologically, stress causes issues. That's why I have more grays in my beard than I did 6 months ago. Right. You look at the presidents of the United States when they go in office, most of them don't have as many gray hairs, as many facial lines, as they come out, their hairlines have receded, they're all white hair, the wrinkles are a lot deeper. And I think President Barack Obama is a great example of that. When he went in, being one of the younger presidents that we had, he didn't have as many gray hairs. Coming out of office, it was almost a snow cap, right? And that's because of the stress of the leader, the burden of being a leader of the free world.
And a bad
Well,
hairstylist.
we won't go that
That's a sign of strength and a bad
far,
hairstylist.
right? Someone forgot to put in his color. He needs to fire the colorist. But I mean, so just being able to recognize that stress is a thing and that it's okay. And then I think also the embracing of some of the military cultures as civilians. It's okay to train your replacement and make yourself replaceable. For a long time, we as leaders didn't want to train a replacement because then you became replaceable. In the military, we are taught that you always learn the job of the person above you and you teach the person below you your job because you are immediately replaceable. In a firefight, something happens to you. The person below you has to step up into your role. Something happens to your leaders, you've got to step up into their role, right? And so as a civilian in the regular world, kind of the same thing. Like if you want to get promoted, but you've built yourself into this skill set and this position that no one else can do, then you are not replaceable. You can't get promoted yourself. You're going to be stuck. And that's going to, so it's again, bringing it back full circle, letting the river flow all the way back down, you have to understand that the burden of leadership can be shared, should be shared, needs to be shared. Because if it's not, then you're going to break and you're going to get so sick that you are forced to take time off. And then it's not time off that you can enjoy, it's time off that you have to recover. And so that's, I think, really where this idea of self-care has become something that we can talk about now, something that we can embrace now as well.
I think that really is, instead of people saying strong leadership versus self-care terminology, I think that you're just not a, I think it's smart leadership. It's
Absolutely.
smartly, just sitting there choking to death because you didn't take time to breathe is not smart. That's just not
Right.
smart, right?
Yeah, not good business at all.
Yeah, that's just not good business, everybody sitting in there. All right, Al, if you could just give your younger self one little piece of advice when it comes to stress management as a leader, what would you tell little Al? Little
Little Al. Wow, that's a good one. You know, the idea that it's okay to make mistakes and to not have the stress of striving for perfection from the word go. And Big Al still trying to learn that to this day in his mid-40s, right? That's I think is the one of my personal leads to stress as a leader, as a producer, just as an individual. You know, I was raised in a way that you weren't able to make mistakes. You had to be perfect from the very beginning. Even if you didn't know what you were doing, you had to be perfect. And if you weren't, you were wrong. And so I think going back to Little Al and saying, okay, dude, look, it's okay. It doesn't matter that you don't know what you're doing. Ask for help.
Very good.
A real leader expects you to not know, and a real leader will actually test you to see if you think you know everything. And so, so if you don't ask for help, then they're going to think that you're a cocksure peacock that really is thinks that they're better than anyone else. And you're not always going to be that person, right? Everyone had to learn how to play ball. Kobe had to work at it. Kobe wasn't the best. Michael Jordan wasn't the best. They weren't, they had talents, they had gifts, but they still had to be developed. They still had to be worked on, and they had to miss shots. Was it Wayne Gretzky? You miss 100% of the shots you never take. And so if you're not taking shots that you may or may not make, you're never going to make them in the first place. I think the most valuable piece of information I can give Little Al is make the mistakes, be okay with making mistakes. You're going to learn. And, because Big Al is okay with other people making mistakes. He doesn't like it when he makes mistakes himself.
That's a good way of saying it, Al. And I love the reason why I like having you here with me is you and I come at things a little different angles, right? And I think that's why we partner up so well. And I love
Absolutely.
the message that you're giving to the little Al. I think I see little Al in you in the mud a little bit. I think I see we can all become
Oh,
little
I've
versions
got
of our.
pictures. Absolutely.
As we close here, I'll share with with all of us leaders that are sitting in the mud together. Al is really giving us some things to think about on mistakes and how we look at our day, and really just him having a great amount of humility of saying, as a leader, he doesn't mind if other people make mistakes, but he's not applying that same grace to himself. So I really like the way that you're showing a great amount of humility. And I think that for some of the leaders sitting around the puddle today, they needed to hear that, right? For my other top personalities, they're like, I don't care, I'll make a mistake, it doesn't bother me. Those people, but if you're sitting in the mud with me, let me tell you something that Melissa has little M started and that big M is really working on. And I can tell that when I don't do it every morning when I get up, I have it is almost like the most important task of my day. Is that I have to prepare myself for work, prepare myself for the day. And it looks different for all of us, but I just as important as it me to put my makeup on or my clothes on, it is important for me to prepare my soul and my spirit for the day. And that helps me to be ready for whatever happens in that day. So that I can make a mistake, so that I can answer a question. So for me, that looks like when I get up, I will not, am not, quoting Dr. Seuss, I will not grab my cell phone. I want to, it's almost like an addiction, but I want to grab it and see like what message do I have, who's called me, those types of things. I don't. I'll take, and some days are different. It just depends on how much time that I have, but it is preparing my spirit for the day. I will not touch my phone. I breathe. I may stretch. I pray because that's important to me. I spend time in the Word and I will get me a couple of sips of my coffee. I may have to walk outside if I'm at a place where I can walk outside and breathe because being outside is really important to me. All of this can take place in 5 minutes. Some days I get 30 minutes. But I will get it. If I don't do that, I can rest assure you I am so messed up for the rest of the day. It's just like going to work naked. You understand what I'm saying? I am not prepared for the day. Okay. So for those of you that are a type A personality like me, I want to get things accomplished, but I cannot be all that I need to be unless I take time for me at the beginning. And I think that's smart leadership. Call it self-care, call it grounding, call it whatever you need to call it. But if it is to be, it starts with
Me.
me. And so I enjoy over all the me's that are in the mud puddle. I enjoy all of you me's sitting in the mud puddle with us today. If we have to sit around a bigger mud puddle next time, we'll do it. But until next time, we're not just talking about it, we're walking through it together. So put on your muddy boots and join us, Al. You got to come back for the next muddy boots, and we'll have another awesome topic. Thanks for your time.
Anytime. Thank you, Melissa. Thanks for having me. See you guys.
See you guys.